Ellis County has finalized their Spark funding decisions. Executive Director from Grow Haze, Doug Williams, talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. You know, I'm very excited to talk to you. You had a pretty big part of the Spark funding decisions that came out, yesterday? Thought maybe you want to just kind of tell us a little bit about how that project went and what your part in it was.
Well, sure. Just for those who are unaware of exactly what that whole thing was, as part of the CARES Act passed by the federal government, they pushed money down to the counties, who then had the obligation to distribute it within the community for a variety of different things. There were portions that went to the county itself, to municipalities like the City of Hayes, City of Victoria, City of Ellis, and the City of Munger and Chinchin, I believe. And then there were funds that went to education organizations, then nonprofits, and some money for for-profit organizations. So our responsibility, the county approach to Grow Haze, because we have an e-community loan committee wherein we review loan applications for some e-community loan funds we have. And since we already had that committee in place, the county felt that we would be a good group to review the applications for the for-profit organizations and make recommendations back to the county as to how those might be funded. So the process was that people would apply on the county website. They would state their need. It needed to be COVID-related, either a loss of revenue or expenses that were incurred because of the COVID pandemic. They asked for a certain amount of money. These applications were forwarded to our group, and we reviewed them and made recommendations to the county for what might be funded. The county attributed $1 million towards the for-profit segment of our community, and they contributed, or they allocated $1 million to the not-for-profit portion of the community. And so our committee reviewed those, made recommendations back to the county, and they decided what they wanted to do yesterday in their meeting.
For sure. Now, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and I don't want to get into this with you because you're on the for-profit side, but I think all the nonprofits got what they asked for, didn't they?
For the most part, I think there were one or two exceptions, but by and large, the not-for-profits did get funded what they asked for. One thing we discovered in this process is that the not-for-profits are much more used to writing grants and asking for basically what they need. The for-profits, not being used to the grant process and that type of thing, asked for probably more than they should have in some cases. We had $5.1 million in requests for the for-profit side of things. And ultimately, the commission, I believe, funded, I'm looking at the sheet here, about $715,000. Of those requests, so far, far less than what was asked for. But and they actually took some of those funds from the bucket for the for-profits, some funds from some of the other buckets, and put it towards the not-for-profits, with the thought process being greater community impact through those not-for-profit organizations, because there's a lot of good organizations that do a lot of good in the community that are not-for-profits, and so I believe they focused a lot of attention on those organizations.
Sure. Do you know, was that pretty standard across the board? Because every county got to decide how to divvy this money up.
You know, I don't know a lot about other counties. I know a little bit about Saline County, and they contributed about the same percentage. You know, because they're a bigger county, they obviously got more money. I think they got $11 or $12 million, and they contributed roughly the same percentages to different things. They varied some, but I think while each county made their own decisions, a lot of them kind of came down with the same type of focus from county to county.
Okay. What kind of feedback have you gotten, or have you heard any, from the decisions from the county?
Well, you know, it was very difficult to look at the applications and make decisions on for-profit organizations. It's really foreign to be basically spreading out this aid. Some of the feedback we've gotten are from some organizations, you know, businesses that were disappointed because they were not aware that they could apply for whatever reason. They just didn't see it in the news and that kind of thing. So that's unfortunate. You know, some have, because it was heavily publicized, some were quite surprised by the amount of the ask for some of the organizations. But when it all came down to the end, you know, our committee, we focus primarily on retail, restaurants, and hotels, with the thought process that, for one, they were, most of the applications were from those type of businesses, but also they were the most hard hit through this, being actually closed down in many cases and not being able to operate at all for a 45-day period, roughly. So that's where the majority of our recommendations went and where the majority of the funds at the end of the day, where the county decided to apply those funds.
Are the restaurants and hotels in the area, are they still having a really hard time of it, or is it getting better? I've been out to a few restaurants, and I've seen that some that are full, everybody's wearing a mask, and it's, you know, almost business as normal. And I've been into others where there's just nobody there. Kind of overall, what's the sense you're getting from that sector?
Well, I think it's just like you say. I think it's a little bit spotty. I think a lot of it, you know, the ones that were already geared up to do drive-up have not experienced near the impact of those who are traditional sit-down restaurants where people come in and order off a menu and that kind of thing, and where carry-out is problematic. You know, I know a lot of them have tried curbside service and that type of thing, but their business model is not such that carry-out works very well for them. In addition, if they have to do social distancing within the restaurant, you know, that reduces the number of people they can serve. So I think it is real spotty. I think some have bounced back pretty well. I think there are some who are still suffering quite a bit. And so I just think it's, you can't say the industry as a whole is one way or the other, because it is very spotty from one restaurant to the other.
And that makes sense to me. You know, I'm thinking there's I know, and I don't want to name it, but one local owned business or restaurant here, they just got reopened because, exactly like you say, the carryout model did not really work for what they do. And that's, I feel like probably the businesses that were the most in need for that Spark funding. So you want to talk a little bit about how that breakdown happened? Like, what was your criteria for making the decision on who gets it and who doesn't?
Well, our committee, again, focusing on restaurants, hotels, and retail, and knowing that we had far more requests for funds than we had funds to give, we tried to accommodate the hotels by, you know, their need is a great deal of their need is PPE. They've been forced to step up the cleaning process that they do when they clean rooms, they've had some additional costs by things they have to put in the room, whether it be hand sanitizers or that type of thing. So we tried to break those down by the number of rooms, the size of the hotel, basically, and we allocated roughly $500 per room for the allocation that we could give to the hotels. Thinking that this is supposed to help them cover fund excess costs they've had since basically March through the end of the year. So that's, you know, virtually 10 months at $500 a room. When you think how many days that is and how many turnovers that is, that doesn't really get to the point where it's going to cover what their costs are to do that additional PPE stuff. So that's how we did the hotels. The retail establishments, we just kind of limited to a flat amount per retail organization. And Then restaurants, we kind of did the same. We tried to look at the restaurant applications that we had, look at the size of them and the amount of not only PPE, but also whether they were a they could do carry out easily or not, you know, how much they were affected. Difficult to make those judgments, but that's kind of how we looked at it, large restaurants versus smaller ones, and kind of divvied it up that way. It's all been published, I think, what was given. The commissioners yesterday reallocated some things. They allocated a little more money to the health care side of things than we had. And thus that resulted in them needing to reduce some of the other recipients a little bit. And so at the end of the day, they made some decisions that they needed to fund an ambulance for the county that was so they took some of those funds out of the for-profit side of things so they could fund an ambulance, and as well as redistribute some of the funds and add some to the healthcare side of things and take a little bit away from some of the other areas we had recommended.
So that's all completed now. We're past that. But that doesn't mean that there's not more funding coming down the pike. From my understanding, there's another Sparks grant program that'll be kicking off next week. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The state has got a similar type program coming out next week. The application is actually available to be looked at online right now. They won't start taking applications until next Wednesday at 12 p.m., August 19th. And it is a first-come, first-served basis. There's about $130 million in available funding. It can go towards things like small business working capital, securing local food systems, procurement for PPE, some broadband stuff. So there, I have no doubt there's going to be lots and lots of applications. But for those who missed the county application, I would encourage them to go out and take a look and see how they fit into this because they've got another chance to have a bite at the apple and get some assistance perhaps. In addition, the county was awarded community development block grant funds of, I think, $120 or $130 million, which they will be figuring out how they choose to distribute that. I'm not sure if any of that will go to private business or not, but it might if they qualify. So I know they've had their hands full with this, so that's kind of on the back burner. They have to send everything in on the Sparks program to the state. They want to get it sent in today, because it has to be there by Monday. So they will be looking at that CDBG/CV grant sometime soon here. But there are a couple of additional opportunities that people can take advantage of. So I would encourage them to go to our Facebook page or go to the State of Kansas Department of Commerce website or call us about finding the link. I think actually Hayes Post ran a link on it as well.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and I would think just with everything that's constantly changing and the different funding sources that are coming out, and this is something we've been talking about now for months, just week after week, keeping track of all that is probably a challenge for anyone. Where you guys are just kind of putting all that information together on your website, that's got to be a helpful resource for those business owners that may be struggling right now.
Yeah, we're trying to get as much information out there so people can be aware of it. You know, unfortunately, and particularly I believe this on the small business side, people are busy running their business. They're not busy, you know, they don't have the time to be out there searching for these grant opportunities. And it's unfortunate because obviously if you don't apply, you're not going to be awarded anything. So hopefully there are some people listening to this can get out there, take a look and make application and see if they can get a little help.
Sure. Now, before we run out of time, we want to shift gears. There's an upcoming event that we want to talk about. It's a class, and I believe it's coming up later on this month. You want to just talk a little bit about this John Schauert teaching business course that's coming up?
You bet. John Schauert is kind of an internationally known business speaker and consultant. And he has a program called Destination Bootcamp, which we've sent people to. out in the Colorado. But obviously, travel is a little bit more difficult now. So he's going to do a class on August 25th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. called Teaching Businesses and Communities How to Become Consumer Destinations. He's real good, and he's going to be doing this via Zoom class. And so there's no cost to attend, and we are setting it up so people can attend live at our location at Brief Space. We have plenty of room and we can social distance, so we're going to allow the number of people in that we can accommodate based on social distancing. But also, you're going to be able to attend from home if you want to via Zoom call. And it should be really good, and I would encourage anybody that is a business owner and looking for ideas on how to differentiate their business and actually make it a destination to attend this and see what John's got to say, because I think you can come away with it with some really good ideas.
Very cool. Can you briefly explain what that might mean to become a consumer destination?
Well, you know, he's got a lot of different ideas, and it's primarily geared towards retailers as to how they position their business. As an example, you know, out on the interstate, you see occasionally the advertisement for the place that has the throw rolls. You know, they've kind of distinguished themselves with that mindset that they'll, hey, I'm going to go there, and they actually do. I guess I've never been there, but they throw these hot rolls around. If you want another roll, they throw it at you or something like that. So just things like that. You know, you put a car dealer puts a car up on a pedestal or something like that that you can see from a mile away, or just things like that kind of differentiate your business from everybody else and make people want to come and check you out. So that's kind of what he's about.
Okay. Kind of makes me think of back in the 90s, there used to be that motivational business video series. I don't remember what it was called, but it was about this fish market where they would toss the fish back and forth and chatter. I don't remember the name of it. Do you know what I'm talking about even?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't remember the name, but it's in Seattle.
Yeah.
And but it was worldwide known because of what they do and how they handle some things. And so this is the same kind of thing. My examples might not have been very good, but it's doing those things that can make you stand out as a retailer. And John is he spent a lot of his career with Hallmark, and he's a very creative and a dynamic kind of guy. And I think anybody that attends it, it's only a couple hours. I said it's on Tuesday, August 25th from 8 to 10. I don't think anybody will be disappointed that attends.
Very cool. And can they find information on your website if they want to do the Zoom portion from home?
Yes. Go to our website or our Facebook page, and I think what we say is email Ernie, and she'll email you all the login information.
Excellent. Well, Doug, we're matter of fact, we're over time. We got to get to news, but anything else you want to squeak in real quick before we go?
Just, you know, as always, our loan programs, we still have our Restart Kansas loan program. If anybody's needing a little help, I know it's not a grant, it's a loan, but still it's pretty attractive terms, 2% for 48 months. And beyond that, that's all I've got.